Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Whole name that time. Good job. Unusual, huh? Once again, I forgot the power cord for our usual recorder, so we're just shooting the shit on this mother. All right, I just want to kick it off, as I've been doing for the last few weeks, just letting you know, wages4wage.cosbox.com, Wage, Working Artists in the Greater Economy, is having a fundraiser. There are only 15 days remaining, and they're at a whopping 27%. That's $20,000 of the $75,000 goal.
Do we already discuss what happens if they don't make their goal? They're going to make their goal, but
they better fucking make their goal. But anyhow, I want to just give a really quick shout out and a handsome salute to the people I know who donated, which includes Desiree Holman, Oakland-based artist who we need to interview, Desiree Holman.
Woo!
Good job. Catherine Lord, who I'm sure doesn't listen to the show, but is a very prominent figure in the art world, prominent feminist. I'm pretty sure she's a lesbian. I'm going to say she is. And Fritz Haig.
Oh, cool. Great.
Does he live here?
No. I think he might be in L.A. I don't know. He's one of those guys whose projects are all over the place, so I have no idea where he is. Or is he in Germany?
Okay. And so I salute each of you three. Thanks so much. And if you donate now, again, next episode, they don't have a lot of chances left. We'll salute you. And if you... if you get saluted, that's a free pass into whatever whatever we got. Want to come to my house? Want to have a coffee? I don't give a shit. You did a good thing, and I salute you.
Well, you could have a one-night stay at our apartment here in the Mission.
Okay, great. No charge. All right, moving right along.
Shouldn't have said that no charge part.
So thank everything good in this universe. Maysoon's back. I was lost without you.
Sorry I disappeared off the face of the earth.
It's okay. You're in New York, and you deserve a break.
I know. Believe me, I heard about it from my mom, too. She was like, you couldn't email or even give me a quick call while you were there? And I was like, no.
So did you make it out to the Ai Weiwei show on Alcatraz?
I did. I went actually this past Friday with a group of... I basically went on a field trip with the Mills College Art Department, which was fun.
Thrills College.
Thrills College.
Real quick, Thrills College. Lucy Lepard is speaking there this upcoming Wednesday. What is that?
The 12th.
So make it out, Danforth Lecture Hall at Thrills College, 7 o'clock on this upcoming Wednesday.
Woo!
Now continue your story.
Continue my story. I mean, I think my first response was, this isn't like that Alcatraz is a really, I think, very difficult site to work with on many, many, many levels. But sort of my first visceral response was, the site itself is like, is so overwhelmingly beautiful that I feel like nothing can stand up to that. Like, I was in these rooms where there's, like, you know, I think that the dragon kite piece is actually pretty beautiful visually, but I kept, like, being drawn to the windows and to the walls of peeling paint and to, like, the defunct toilets that were, like, split in half. Or I was so much more interested in, like, the actual site that it just made it hard to even engage or be interested in the work, which is sort of maybe a little telling of the work as well, or just, like, the use of the space.
There was definitely a lot of visual information to contend with.
Yeah. And then another thought I had was, you know, Ai Weiwei is, he's under house arrest in China. And so he actually never had a chance to really see the space. He couldn't do a site visit. He couldn't see it. I know that the Foresight Foundation sent him like plans and probably videos and tons of photos and probably tons of history about all the different histories of Alcatraz. So I think he got everything that he could possibly have for not visiting. But I still think, like, being on site and seeing how people move through the space, seeing, you know, where the sun is in relation to a room, or, I mean, there's like so many elements I think artists are always considering when they're installing in a space, especially if it's like if it's not in a gallery where it's a completely controlled environment. You know, just even like It would seem like it'd be important for him to know, like, how tourists interact with the space. Like, how do tourists move through that space? There's one point where we were in the main cell block. I was with, like, Glenn Helfand and a few students, and we were walking basically against stream. Like, there was this huge group of people with headphones on walking, you know, the regular Alcatraz tourists walking through the cell block listening, and we were kind of, like, going right through the middle of them in the opposite direction. And it's sort of like, well, that's kind of – it's not weird. It's not bad, but it just seems sort of, like, clear that – I think the show would have benefited a lot if he was able to be there, because I think he's capable of doing incredible installations, obviously. I definitely felt like the audio pieces were the strongest pieces, hands down.
I think that's been the general consensus.
I don't know, and I think it's got to be really hard. I mean, there's so much hype was built around not only Ai Weiwei is like how now become this like spectacular, famous
celebrity
artist, you know, which is whatever it is. So he's become this, but then also there's been so much hype built up around this exhibition on Alcatraz, and, you know, everyone was excited about it. And so I also feel like the show's suffering from that a little bit. Like, it doesn't meet up to the hype that I think that's been built around it. So, I mean, that happens, I guess. But I feel like if people were more quiet about it, you'd go and maybe you'd have a different experience. I have no idea, but.
It's always fun to just find things. If you just pop onto Alcatraz and P.S. Ai Weiwei's having a show there, that would be pretty impressive.
That'd be awesome. You know, like at the end of the show, there's like the postcard room where you're supposed to write a postcard. There's binders on the desk, binders on the table where you can read the bios of each of the prisoners, the political prisoners. I think there's like 117 or 113 prisoners that you could write to.
From all different countries.
But it's just, it's a little bit, I mean, it's not... And that's like a tactic Amnesty International has been doing forever. So, and I know Forsyth Foundation worked closely with Amnesty on that. So that's not like, it's just a little bit preposterous, I think, to be like, oh, I'm going to write this letter to some prisoner across the world who I don't know. And
I'm like a tourist on vacation.
I'm a tourist on vacation on Alcatraz, or I'm going to an art exhibit. And isn't that cool? It's just it's a little bit weird. I mean, it's very weird. So I feel conflicted about that because part of me is just like, it's the gesture, and it's like, maybe, I don't know, I've never been a prisoner. I have no idea whether or not a postcard makes a fucking difference.
It does.
In my life. It what?
It does.
It does. Okay, so that's interesting. You've been a prisoner.
It's like being, I don't know, it's like being hospitalized or something. Any contact with anything outside that world, I think, is usually very welcome.
Right. So that's probably why Amnesty does it, right? And it's.
But
like,
I think more than anything, a lot of these prisoners would probably hope that the people that are writing to them are always also pushing for like political change in their own country.
Right, which is definitely not the case, and for the most part, I guess, in this situation. I thought it'd be good to talk about how the elections turned out. Is that art related even?
Hey, man, I'm down.
Okay, good.
I'm pissed too. I mean, I'm fairly satisfied with what happened in Oakland. Really, more than anything, I blame us for the outcome of the elections. I blame you and me.
Okay. You blame me. Okay, Kate blames us for the election. She thinks we could have campaigned harder for things we believed in, and I do agree with you on that. I don't know what to say about that. I didn't campaign for anything. I just went and fucking voted. That's what I did, people.
I waited too long right before the election to really bear down and do my research on everything and realize there were a lot of really important, like, Alameda County issues up, like reducing the maximum sentence for misdemeanors, like, I think, drug possession and stuff like that. Anyhow, thank goodness it passed, and the minimum wage
in both cities passed.
And my number two choice for mayor, Libby Schaff, got in there. I was really kind of hoping for Dan Siegel, but it's all good. Prop G was a huge disappointment.
Which one is Prop G? I just can't remember.
That was the one to increase property taxes on people that are selling within 5 years after they got the place.
And that didn't pass? Fucking San Francisco. Bullshit.
Anyhow, that was a disappointing to me.
I didn't realize that didn't pass.
And that Campos didn't get elected. I didn't know that much about him because I live in Oakland, but I knew people were rallying for him pretty hard.
I mean, what do we even know what the turnout was of voters?
It's record low in California.
Record low. All these fucking 23-year-olds have no fucking idea. They're just like, whatever. We just want to go out drinking.
I blame us, Maysoon. I blame us. I just want to say that I have an optimistic attitude. Even though Republicans gained a majority in the House, I feel that it's not the end of the world. We're going to make it through this. And I had no doomsday thoughts for me.
Really?
I just got to stay positive, man. How can you make change if you're fucking in a fucking existential depression hole?
I'm not in an existential depression hole.
Oh, I don't mean you personally. No, I just mean one.
But I do feel doom and gloom, but I don't feel like it's an existential depression hole.
Are you going to use that doom and gloom to motivate to get out there?
Yeah.
And
That's
okay, I accept it. I accept it.
That's my general style. The other thing that the other thing that I was kind of disappointed didn't pass, which every motherfucker, well, not mother, every party, what do we call these people? Like the San Francisco Green Party, the San Francisco League of Pissed Off Voters, like
the Sierra Club,
for all these people, everyone said vote yes on this. And I was
yes on Prop F.
Yes on Prop F, which was
increasing height limits
at Pier 70. And the whole idea is that so they'd raise height limits, they'd build obviously housing, a big building of housing there, and some 30% or something would be affordable housing, which is to me like a question of what affordable housing actually means, because Jane Kim, supervisor, said I think 70,000 or 80,000 was considered affordable housing, which to me is kind of appalling.
I think all they're saying, all I heard was below market rate, but market rate is fucking ridiculous.
Right. So if like below market rate is 80,000, that's not necessarily affordable housing. It's affordable housing to a very small percentage of people. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so small anymore. Anyhow, my biggest issue, and so there's like this whole plan for like greening and making it a lovely park on the bay, blah, blah, blah. I think that's lovely. And of course, I'm all for greening the city, generally speaking, but I'm not okay with so much power being given to a private developer. And I feel like that's what this prop is opening the door to. And that is really worrisome to me because it's fucking public land. It's the bay. It's our peers. And I feel like this is like the first step to like a fucking domino effect of developers coming and taking over the water, which I think is fucked up. And that's exactly why I didn't vote for it. But I was only 27% of all the fucking voters. So
which is 50,000 people altogether.
50,000 people, yeah, and I think it was 111,000 people who voted yes. So this is another one of the things, like, people need to fucking do their research, and it's, like, that's frustrating to me, that, like, people just sort of, I don't know what they do. I don't know. I'm sure someone else could argue against it, but I feel like I could probably take them on pretty
well. Well, I think this is a good time for people to go ahead and call in, and how'd you vote on it? Or don't, you don't have, you could remain anonymous.
Actually, I would love to hear from our callers if they want, of course, but, you know, what passed or didn't pass that they feel strongly about one way or the other. Like, I'd love to hear, just even if it's not having to do with a soda tax or Prop F or Prop 1, the water bond, which to me was like a fucking placating lazy-ass motherfucking citizens around water use.
Motherfuck. So give us a call, 419-351-6606. Leave us a message. It'll just go to a voicemail. You don't have to stress out. Just give us a call. Get on the show.
Yeah. Hurry up. Come on. Let's do this, people. How does all this relate to the art world?
If we can't fucking live here, if we can't have water, if we've got fucking goddamn fascist bastards running our fucking cities, it's going to be real hard to make art. You also went to Root Division's opening last night for their new show, Unbounded.
Yep, it's called Unbounded. And yep, that's right. It's called Unbounded.
Still at their location on Market Street.
Their temporary location on Market Street. The show's up through November 22nd. There's an artist talk on November 20th. But the show, I wrote a little sentence down from their PR just so I could quickly review it. It's investigating form, perception, and cognition.
Did you find that to be true?
Form, definitely. For a moment, I was like, is this a painting show? And then I looked around, I was like, oh, wait, there were two videos, but it felt very much like a sort of a contemporary painting show. I think some of the works were really beautiful. I was kind of doing a quick in and out. Root Division, I think, is challenged with sculptural. Oh, no, there's one other artist who I don't remember. With sculptural works, like where to put them in that space. Like, I think they're worried about putting them in the middle of the floor. Or at least I know Amy was like, oh God, I think she's had too many experiences where people actually step on the work by mistake, which I totally get. That's like so nerve wracking from a gallery perspective. What?
How does that happen?
How does it happen that someone steps on the work? Because they're fucking idiots.
Are they not on pedestals or just popping them on the floor?
The past couple shows, I mean, not the auction, but a few shows ago, maybe there was, yeah, there was works that are not huge sculptural works. They're kind of flat, low to the ground works. And they're just on the floor by, you know, artist choice. And so
pop a little mini little rope around it.
Ropes are lame. I think they are. Ropes are lame. I mean, I just feel like, yeah, I don't think ropes are a good idea. I think one way to deal with works on the floor and works that aren't like large scale sculptural works might be to put something on the floor that distinguishes the floor as like maybe a different color. Maybe it's a piece of vinyl. Maybe it's something. Maybe you paint the floor so that you see that you're visually, even if you're not looking down, you're visually seeing that it's a different thing and that you might try to avoid it. I don't know. That's maybe not the easiest thing in a space that you don't own or you don't want to constantly be like repainting the floor. But that's definitely a challenge. Anyhow, I felt bad for her because I was like, oh man, I hope. I think actually yesterday someone came in and stepped on the work again. And she was like, ah,
what the fuck, man?
I just had to wrangle someone out of the fucking gallery. I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. It was a bummer.
Anyhow, don't step on artwork.
The show was interesting. It actually kind of felt like a New York show a little bit. Is very cerebral and abstract and very formal looking. It didn't feel like a Bay Area show, but it was, I mean, I thought that was interesting actually. And maybe that's because there's a presence of artists from other parts of the world, part of the country.
Well, Mel Prest is local.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of local people. I'm certainly not saying it's a non-local show.
Mel Prest.
I love Mel Prest.
Me too.
Fantastic. Her work is really great.
Reception, art reception etiquette.
Oh, right. Yeah, I like that. I like that topic.
I just had an opening this last Thursday at Incline Gallery. Show's still up if you want to see it. And I had an opening reception, and I was thinking, what are the habits and rituals that we do at receptions, and what's appropriate and what's not?
I don't know. What do you mean? I usually try to look at the work first. I try to ignore everyone there. I'm like, you know what? I actually want to look at the work first and then be social. Like I might say, hey, like from across the room, but keep walking, like be very clearly focused on looking. And then I'll kind of like swing into the social scene.
I had a guy chat with me at the reception for, I'm going to say 20 minutes. It felt like 20 minutes.
That's too long.
About global warming.
Oh my God.
I can talk to anyone on any topic for any amount of time.
That's great.
And I'm not good at ending conversations. Yeah, so
you're from Ohio. You're too fucking nice.
I don't think it's an Ohio thing, but
it is. It's a Midwestern thing.
Well, I think I learned it from my mom, and my mom's from Morgan Hill, which is just outside of San Jose.
And what's that about?
She's just a farm girl. So
aww,
yeah. I think it's about being rural.
Rural.
So talk to that guy forever. And then my dear friend, Tamara Seal, my new good friend, who I love, artist that I respect, Tamara Seal comes and she's trying to say hi to me and stuff. I'm trying to say hi to her while continuing this conversation with this rando about global warming or whatever. And she has a show coming up at Evergold Gallery. And I was like, oh man, I'm so excited for your show because it's also with another artist that I love named Joey Ennis. Anyhow, so Tamara comes up to me while this guy is talking to me about global warming. I'm talking to him about flood maps. I mean, I'm totally like bringing this on myself. And then I'm asking Tamara about her opening, but I'm also like really involved with this other conversation. So I can't remember. I asked her, honest to God, I probably asked her 5 times what day her show opens. And by the last time she's like, you're hilarious. I'm not even telling
she's
you now.
Like, you're an asshole. Get out of here.
Basically.
Look it up on the fucking website.
I felt really bad. So I don't know. You got any tips for that, Maysoon?
You know, I think you have to learn how to gracefully exit a conversation, Kate.
I don't know how.
Just excuse me for 1 second, and then you just never go back. Or, you know, it was lovely to talk to you, but I need to talk to this other person really quick. Or I need to touch bases with my gallerist right here.
I don't know. That is absolutely adult, mature, smart, professional thing to do. Right. When people do that to me, I get my feelings hurt. Even though I know the person is like,
you are
fucking got a million things to do. Like if it's their show or if they run the space or whatever, they got a million people to talk to. But like when they're like, oh, it's been really great talking to you, like enjoy. And then I'm like, I thought we were going to spend this whole evening together.
Why did that see? Yeah, no. You just got to let that go. People are fucking busy. They're at work. The artists who are in the show are at work. The gallerists who are running the show are at fucking work. Literally. They do not have time for a 20-minute conversation. That guy should have known better. Why was he talking about global warming? He was at an art show. Fucking talk about the artwork, man.
It was my fault, man. I think it was all my fault. I'm not putting anything on that guy.
It was definitely your fault. Yeah. Say happy birthday to Southern Exposure. They turned 40 this year, which is quite a feat in the Bay Area.
They just had a big dance party.
They had a big dance party. SOEX Extra Large.
SOEX also is having their big open call juried show, the big cattle call where everyone can just drop their stuff off, no entry fee. Just pop it in, pop it out if it doesn't get in. Drop your stuff off Friday, November 14th from 12 to 7 or Saturday, November 15th from 10 to 2. There's also a video submission deadline, which is November 15th at 12 p.m. I think that you can submit online through email. Just go to their fucking website. Anyhow, you got a little bit of
Stop relying on us for all of your fucking information.
So you used to work at SOEX. What are these shows like for the people working there?
It's a total shit show.
It's like a lot of fucking work.
Oh my God, yeah. It's a lot of coordination. It's a lot of organization. Everything's got to be just so. There's all these drop. There's times for, I guess it's really just like how you set up the space to receive hundreds and hundreds of work. So every day and every 1 hour time period or every couple hour time period has a section on the wall where you're just like stacking work against itself with like cardboard pieces in between. So that's like, that's even just receiving the work. And then there's the jurying the work where you have like 15 volunteers, maybe more like 5 volunteers. And they're wearing white gloves and they literally just like pick up the work, show it to the juror and they say yes, no, or maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah. I mean, how else? So we're just kind of, if there's a no pile or if it's a no, it just stays back in that pile so that we can find it when the artist comes back. So we can't like move things around very easy. You know, we can't just put it in another part of the gallery. If it's a yes, if it's a yes or a maybe, and they're usually all maybes at that first preliminary stage, they go into another section of the gallery completely. And we mark that they're a maybe and that they've been moved from their initial spot. So that's crazy. And then we go through all that. That takes all day because there's hundreds, like 500 works get dropped off. I mean, it's really insane. And then there's a break. The juror goes back to the maybe pile. It's the same process of like holding them up for her or him or whoever it might be that year. And then kind of dwindling it down to a show.
Do you have any tips for artists that are submitting their work?
Follow the fucking guidelines. That was so mean. I'm sorry. Artists out there. I didn't mean, you know what?
That's true though, man.
If we were talking in person, I actually would have been much more gentle with you. And so I apologize. I love you.
No, I think that's a good rule of thumb. Always look at the prospectus of any show you're applying to and follow what they're asking for.
Yep.
Definitely. I mean, that's basic.
It's basic, but you would be surprised at how.
Oh no, I totally understand. Artists are the craziest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yeah. How often guidelines are not followed. It's like they are there because the institution wants you to follow them. If you can't follow them, that is actually a point against you. So if you want to like buck the system, good luck.
Not only are artists crazy though, it's also like if you're putting in for a jury show, you're probably applying to lots and lots of shows. And so sometimes it's just kind of like you kind of zone out and forget to read stuff. Yeah. So I give them a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, I mean, Southern Exposure has one of the only free juried shows in the Bay Area, so I think that's also why they get so many artists.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I mean, my biggest piece of advice would be to follow the guidelines, and to also like if you don't get in the show, It is not a personal thing against you. Do not have a fucking fit with the people who work at that space. It is totally inappropriate. Don't take it personally.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah. Don't get pissed off. It's going to be fine. Submit your work again. It's like no one has a list of like, although if no one has a list of like that person, we're never going to accept their work, right? But if you act like an asshole, I can guarantee you, you will be remembered for being an asshole. And that is not something you want to be remembered
What's
for.
What's the worst thing that ever happened in that kind of situation?
I mean, I don't think anyone's ever like been up in arms and yelling, but like you definitely get like a, you get a lot of attitude. And it's usually from artists who are, I think it's definitely from artists who like don't show a lot. And so they don't have experience with rejection. Like artists who are actively working and trying to be in shows probably have way more experience with rejection. And they're sort of like, they get used to it. Whether or not that's a good thing is one thing, but they get used to it and they just keep applying. They're like, whatever. All that can happen is they're going to say no, but I still want to try for it. And so I think there's like a point where you get over that and you kind of keep moving forward. Anyhow.
I don't know.
No, it's hard to get over the rejection part.
I mean, I would never take it up with staff at a place or anybody involved with it, the during or anything, yeah. But it still hurts sometimes. No matter sure. How many times. Of I mean, I've had more fucking rejections than I can count.
Right.
But I'm just saying I'm a sensitive soul.
Yeah,
but anytime somebody does something and life doesn't go your way, it's never okay to snap at somebody, especially if it's they had nothing to do with the decision.
Right. Or, but even if they did have something to do with the decision, there's fucking 500 pieces to look at. And the you know, what is it? The percentage of you getting in is probably really small to start with, or actually quite large. I don't know. Whatever. It's pretty small. So it's sort of like, I just think you got to, people have to stop taking things so personally. Just relax. It's going to be okay. It's not a personal thing. You know, and it's like, and I mean, I think institutions are very aware of the fact that they're rejecting a bunch of artists and are sensitive to that as well. And are trying to make it as easy as possible and as painless as possible by having like systems work really effectively and efficiently so that you can kind of come in and out pretty quickly and not have to like stand there feeling dejected for so long. And, you know, I think everyone's really, I remember being really nice to people. I mean, obviously I'm a nice person in general, but just being really like, gracious with all of the artists. Shake. Shake.
Shake. Listen. Listen while I talk. All right, so I just want to make a quick apology and a redaction. Last week I said that moms and parents that bring their kids to museums probably want their kid to see a blowjob happen. I redact that. I talked to a couple moms. They were very gracious, but I think I might have stepped on some toes. I'm very sorry. Obviously, you know, there I went to museums as a child. I'm not sure how it affected me, but it's fine.
I don't think you need to redact that at all, actually.
I also said that the only people that bring their kids to museums are like the cultured Berkeley people who will bring their kids to the symphony, which I thought might have been.
That might be a little bit more offensive, actually.
Okay. So long story short, I love moms. You're doing what you got to do. If you got to go to the museum, maybe you got to bring your kid. I'm not going to, I feel maybe like.
But they want to bring their kids. They want to get their kids like in comfortable in those environments. Like,
sure.
As possible.
I mean, more power to them.
I also think that most of them probably don't give a shit if it's a blowjob.
I wonder if I need to go back and redact a lot of other things I've said.
I don't know. We can use Jenny's maybe not the best filter because she can take a lot of shit, that one.
Jenny Ottinger, we salute you. So anyhow, real quick, why the Bay is better than LA.
Go.
Fucking homeroom. This is culture because it's food and food is part of culture. Homeroom, the best macaroni and cheese in Oakland, is opening a little extra little location for mac and cheese to go. Fuck you, LA.
Fuck that shit.
Mac and cheese is delicious. Have you been there?
I hate it.
Have you been there?
No.
You're not a true East Bay, West Bay.
I'm not an East Bayer, it's true. I'm a West Bayer, as they like to say. LA is more beautiful than the Bay, don't you think?
Fuck no. Where are you going to, man? Their fucking rivers don't exist.
I just think it's really cool that all of our water from up here is going down to LA. It's just a beautiful, it's a beautiful relationship we have with them.
That's sarcasm.
How about the coyotes in the backyard? I mean, that's the coolest thing ever. There's all those canyons with wolves and coyotes and deer galloping through your backyard. I just love the idea.
What?
There's birds and swallows and chipmunks going all over the place. It's just the cutest.
How can you hate bison?
The quintessential American animal. Is that what you're saying? Saying mammal?
Look, LA sets on fire randomly every year. Okay, we don't have that.
We can't fucking pass a soda tax over here, goddammit.
You think LA can pass a soda tax?
Probably.
LA doesn't even have democracy anymore.
And that's why the Bay is better than LA. Congratulations! You've listened to another episode of
Congratulations Pine Tree!
We'll have another episode next week. We'll have an interview next week. We're getting back on point with our interviews. We got an interview with an Oakland artist next week. Tune in to find out who. Thanks, everyone who's been listening. Don't forget to call in 419-351-6606. Anything else, Mamie?
Nope. Peace out, people. See you next week.